Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey you too. That's what you said, right? Hey you.
Hey you.
Hey you. How you doing? I haven't seen you for 2 weeks.
I'm Catholic.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So was Jesus.
Also, Easter was good for you.
They canceled Easter.
No, yeah?
Yeah, they found the body.
Was it at a giant stadium?
It was actually the TNA Health Show.
It was the only one there.
Yeah, nobody thought to look there.
The safest place. If you want to hide your fortune, safest place in the world.
Yes.
The TNA House Show.
This is very, very true.
There's more people currently in your living room.
Yes.
Yeah. The TNA House Show.
The TNA House Show.
All right, so where are we going with this?
It's been 2 weeks
since the show. So maybe we should just talk about the things that are really interesting us.
Okay. In the meantime, and in between time. Yeah. No, you had the unpleasant fortune of watching some TNA.
Yeah, I watched the last couple weeks of Impact and Sacrifice, and that's all I want to say about that.
How is Daniel Bryan?
Oh, he's Eric Young.
Eric Young. Yeah. Did you hear the thing, though? The big thing now is that MVP is turning heel.
Mm.
And wants to beat Eric Young. I almost said Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Eric Young. Okay. And so that's good. We have a heel owner.
Yeah.
Good. And he's enlisted now the help of Bobby Lindsay, a friend of the program, and Kenny King.
Yeah.
And so they have formed a group.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many people are calling this basically TNA's, copying of the Daniel Bryan and the whole Triple H and everything. But just to show that they're not, they have a name for this group.
Oh, yeah.
Because they want to distinguish or brand themselves because they think it's unfair.
Yeah.
The name of this group, Creationism. MVP is leading Creationism against Eric Young.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. The difference is at least Evolution is taking on the Shield.
Mm-hmm. That is the difference.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm watching this pay-per-view, and like I said, I like Eric Young. I think he's very talented.
Well, he's
guy.
Sure.
Yeah, but...
Never took a steroid in his life.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
But that's part of it. I mean, one of the things that's like the Sacrifice pay-per-view, they had a great video. It's like this promo pack is showing him like from his debut with Scott D'Amore and Team Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his different incarnations over the years.
World Elite.
Had that in there and everything. You know, him in a suit. And,
yeah.
Which is funny because Dixie on talked about, you know, how you need to take you, give you a makeover and put you in more fancy clothes. I'm like, yeah, he did that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
didn't work.
No. But he's sitting there going, you know, I may not look like a champion and I may not have the body of a champion. And I'm like,
oh, good.
Like, But Daniel Bryan, you can
I may
say
not
that.
Be a champion.
But I have the heart of a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, does this sound familiar? And the difference is Daniel Bryan, though, is like 3-4 inches shorter than Eric Young. And probably 40 pounds lighter. Like, Eric Young is not, he's, you know, like 5'10", 5'11".
Sure.
Like, he's Bret Hart size, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not too small. Like, he's like, they list him at 235. He does have, he's got ab muscles and he's got, you know, huge pecs and everything like that. Like, he's a big jacked up guy.
Really?
He really is.
Because
he probably
watching.
Should have the body of about 190 pound year old.
Really been watching.
But 190 pound year old. But anyways, he's a big, like, he's not, like, you're giving him a gimmick that he doesn't have.
Tell us more about Eric Young's physique.
And even when he, like, okay, he's got the beard now, and that makes him look like Grizzly Redwood did in ROH, less right. like Daniel Bryan. But when you're looking at these old pictures of him, it's like, he's, like, a much better looking guy than Daniel Bryan. He's an above average looking guy. So when you look at him, you're like, it's not like your look or your... Like, everything that they're saying about him, they're just trying to say about him because they want you to think that.
Yes.
Copying Daniel Bryan.
That's
right. But it's not actually true. So that makes it even dumber.
Yeah,
like, at least if they had found a guy who's pretty obviously, you know, what Daniel Bryan or what they heard, they could have said the same thing about CM Punk. Like, that's one thing I get, right?
Yeah.
You know, but, like...
Or Christian.
Yeah. You know, but this is a guy who's like, okay, yeah, you know, it's more that he's being booked like and being comedy character for so long than anything else that he's, you know, if for years he had been well booked, you'd be like, yeah, I could see him as a champion, because nobody's sitting there going, oh, I don't see Austin Aries as the champion. Yeah, he's small or whatever, but
right.
Eric Young's bigger than him and better looking than him and all this stuff. Like, it's,
I know,
you know, it's just so weird.
It's contrived, is what it
very.
Is. And that's the problem. And I mean, you compound that with them talking about the Daniel Bryan next getting ready to make his debut is Nux and the Wyatt family.
So yeah, that's being awful too. I mean, what they've done is they've taken Nux,
yes.
You know, Knox, whatever.
Yeah. The Knox.
The Knox. And anyways, they've taken Nux, as they call him.
Mm.
And his gimmick is that he came from a little town now.
Right.
You know, he's no longer, you know, they've thrown out the whole history of Aces and Ace. I don't really talk about that.
Right.
He was in this little town, and in this little town, it had a bad economy.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a family business. And instead of sticking around with the family business, he went away to pursue his dreams.
Which I assume is a carnival, the family business.
It looked like it was a pinball hall.
Okay.
Or pool hall or something like that. But I guess it is. I guess it is because at the last, like, there's this chick in there who I guess is Christy Hammy's real life friend.
Yes, she's paying off already.
She's in power, folks.
Yes,
and
she does tricks with fire.
Yeah,
that's her gimmick.
And so they have her in these things, acting like, you know, you're like, I thought they were like friends or maybe a cousin or sister, but apparently it's like his ex-girlfriend or something. I don't know.
Well, they could be both. Is this town in Virginia?
Yeah, possible. Like, the acting in this is so, like, all of a sudden you're screaming for what was the name with AJ Styles? What was the name of the chick who was all?
Oh, Claire Lynch.
Claire Lynch.
Yes.
You're screaming for Claire Lynch because the acting in this is way worse, and that's because this chick wasn't even an actor or model or anything. He was just some chick who did stuff with fire that used to when Christy Hemme used to hang around and do. I think she's been like a bikini model or something.
I think she was in OVW though. This chick, this
well, she's been
chick.
Been training for like 4 months now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's been training for like 4 months, so she's been in OVW. But yeah, I mean, she's not young or whatever. I mean, she was a friend with Christy back when she used to run with her biker gangs before she was,
yeah,
you know. So, I mean, you got this chick. So, I mean, she's not an actress. She got the worst acting possible. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, as they're leaving this town after weeks and weeks of,
yes.
of you sitting there going,
two of them against
on,
the
everybody
world.
Keeps on telling him, you know, as relatives or whatever, like, it's like, Knox, you're such an asshole. You went to pursue your dreams because that's selfish of you. You never should have left us to pursue your dreams. Then she agrees to leave with him to pursue his dreams again.
Mm-hmm.
And on his way out of the town, there's some guys in some sort of, like you say, carnival, circus, like these bunch of freaks he just picks up out of nowhere.
Crazy Steve.
Who haven't been introduced up until this point. He just, what the fuck, really? I mean, you don't really know anything about these. This is just
Crazy
Steve. You got incredibly bad acting.
Freak show.
Yes, you got incredibly bad acting, incredibly bad production values, incredibly bad gimmicks,
mm-hmm.
A storyline that doesn't make any goddamn sense at all,
yeah.
And if anything, you're feeling for him going, yeah, he was allowed to pursue his dream, you know, like, like, but now even that doesn't, like, all wrapped up, again, TNA, I watched this,
mm-hmm.
because I'm an idiot.
Yes, that's what you kept texting me, I'm retarded.
Yeah, I think I said I'm dense.
Dense, yes.
But
yeah, that was the deal. Is he's like, I was like, why would you do this?
Well, because I feel like it's my responsibility as a broadcast journalist.
You are a broadcast journalist
to watch this shit, so I can tell folks about it.
Yes.
So I do it so you don't have to.
Thank you.
I ingest the poison. I take the bullet.
Mm-hmm.
I cut off the limb so that you don't have to.
You yes.
And none of you are. According to the ratings, watching this shit.
No, I know, and what a ratings decline they're talking about like 2/3 of the audience left. I think it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, the go home show. It's just, it's.
Oh, yeah, the main events both last couple of weeks. I mean, they had Eric Young versus Abyss and Abyss versus Magnus. Mm-hmm. Both of them just fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
And.
In the match.
In the match.
Yeah. That's
Abyss's gimmick. And then you had this pay per view where you had this. Like, there's a few things that are good. Kenny King's one of the few good things. Like, he's, this guy's very charismatic,
mm-hmm.
really good talker, and a good worker, too. He's got a good look, he's a little small or whatever, but he's really talented guy.
If they do a Kenny King versus Eric Young match at some point, right, it'd be good.
Yeah, it'd be very good.
Yeah.
And he's a terrific talker. Like, he's in his new gimmick, the King of the Night, that was really good, and mm-hmm. had vignettes and everything like that for it, and then,
he wasn't allowed in.
Yeah, and then he wasn't allowed in the building.
Yeah, and now he's in with the man.
But it doesn't make any sense. Again, he's feuding with MVP, and then they're together.
Yeah.
And he's feuding with Bobby Lashley. Swerve! But again, you can do a swerve if it's...
Mo, if I can be honest with you...
And he'll be on the show telling the Triple H nose joke of the week later.
He will. But he's also someone with major influence in TNA. It's obvious.
Some influence, yeah.
Major influence.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know if he has more influence than, say, Christy Hemme.
Okay.
But she's also awful. And Sam Shaw is a terrible performer.
Oh, God, yes.
And you know, so you have... I mean, I like Eric Young. He's good. Magnus has potential, you know, still.
Guys are all...
Bully Race is awesome. You know, the Wolves are terrific. Like, there's a lot of good shit there, but boy, it's just so bad.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm watching it, but I've given up on it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm watching it so that I can talk about it because I feel like I'm supposed to, or because, just in case it gets good, or there's something to talk about, or something interesting, and I have no life anyways. But that said... Like, I've given up on... It's not like a few years ago, I would blog about TNA.
Oh, we loved TNA a couple years ago, right?
Oh, yeah, but even before even before Aces and Eights and they had some momentum, like, even like when I was writing about rebuilding the X Division or we were writing about mm-hmm. the important... Like, these different things, there was still, like, a hope. Like, fuck, if they could just turn this around and make this matter. Now it's like, no, that title, that X Division title will never mean more than... Your doorstop.
Did you realize that TNA has almost existed longer than WCW?
As WCW.
As WCW, that's amazing. That's just amazing.
Yeah. It's like 12 years now, right?
Yeah. It's just, it's knocking futs is what it is. It's unfathomable. But I mean, you've got this creationism gimmick, you got the not quiet family. I mean, it's just what is, I mean, the talent is good and the booking is what's shit.
Yeah, everything. Well, the storyline at the pay-per-view, like, the talent is good. It's a little, I mean, you got the main event. I mean, for all this time, we used to shit on them because they would have the main event, Kurt Angle versus, you know, at 42 or whatever, versus Sting at you know, 51. I mean,
yeah,
you have at this time, you have Magnus, who I think is like 27, 28. Like 27, yeah. I think it's like 27. Against Eric Young, who I think is 34. Right? Like, so, I mean, these are new guys, fresh guys that are at the top of the card. This should be a good thing.
Look at those two on WWE.com, main page of WWE.com there. Paige and Janice.
Paige and Janice, there you go. But, I mean, this should be a good thing, right? That they push these guys up. But the fact is that they've pushed them up without any build. There was no, they never got the torch from anybody, for one thing. You know, like, nobody ever passed the torch to them.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing because, like, Wade Keller just annoys the shit out of me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He's awful.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they've never got the rub from anybody. You want to make a Pat Patterson joke now?
Hmm? You fucking... Oh.
But, no, they never got the rub from anybody. That's part of it. But also just... Again, there's no hope for the company.
No.
And Russo, like, this whole thing where Bully Ray fights...
the cunt.
No, he fight. Well, yeah, that too. But Bully Ray against, what's his name? Bobby Roode at the pay-per-view, okay?
Yes.
And Bully Ray puts Bobby Roode through the table, but the referee looks like he got hit by, as he was spinning around, by like, the probably, like, the shoelace of Billy Ray's foot, and he goes down for like an hour. He puts him through his table in this tables match, so nobody counts the win. And then later, outside the ring, Bully Ray's climbing up outside the ring onto the apron and on the turnbuckles there, and you have Bobby Roode laying on the table, and he's going to go through it again, and he kind of hesitates, and then this person comes through the crowd and gives him the slightest little push on his ass, and he falls through, and Bobby Roode isn't there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then the match, the bell rings, and everybody says Bobby Roode wins, and then this Dixie Carter bitch takes off all her shit, and it's her in this dress like a man. And meanwhile, I'm looking over in the corner, and the referee's still knocked out, and so I'm like, well, if he's knocked out when Bully Ray puts Bobby Roode through the table,
yeah.
Why is it when he goes through the table, that's the end of the match? Because there's still no referee to call the match.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, the logic here, not only is it really stupid and overbooking and smells of Russo-rific,
yes,
to have her dressed up like a man and come out and they think this is way more than it is, that is just the illogic of the whole thing, like the inconsistencies within a match. Again, yeah, it's a terrible promotion right now.
Yeah, that's what it is, and I think we talked about it long enough, to be honest.
Right. I got it off my chest.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why we talked about it for so long.
Because I have a big chest.
Hmm? Yeah.
You've been staring at it.
C cup. But I think that the next double thing, C's, if we want to move up in the world, let's go to NXT. We haven't really talked about NXT TakeOver.
No.
May 29th, they're doing another network live show, NXT. This one going to be really headlined by The Hearts. It's going to be...
Natalya is getting a shot at one title, which she won't win. And Tyson Kidd is getting a shot at another one, which he might.
No.
You don't think?
No. No, I don't. I don't think they'll change the belts here, but...
They might. And also, Tyson Kidd, I'm not so... I don't know how much longer they're going to have Aaron Neville or whatever his
Adrian
name is.
Adrian Neville.
Down there in NXT. But also, Tyson Kidd, I mean, at least in NXT, it's looking very much like they're not going to put him in that Luchador gimmick, the permanent...
That they were talking about. Yeah. That looks like he's getting a bit of an NXT run, which is great.
Partially because of Rikido Kukakika.
Yeah, Ricardo Rodriguez?
Yeah. He's teaming with Kalisto.
That's right, yes, yeah. I saw that.
Of course, Samurai del Sol.
Samurai del Sol was fucking awesome.
Yeah, well, so much better than Ricardo.
Yes.
And this gimmick they're giving him.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to... Paige stripped of the NXT Divas Champion.
Making sense because she's going to be on the road too much.
Yes.
As a main roster player. Yes.
So, Natalya in the finals
for
the in the tournament against Charlotte.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, because Natalya's not on the road too much in the main roster.
No.
And people like Alicia Fox who are in the tournament. No, fuck no.
No.
Again, inconsistencies, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's all to put the belt on
Charlotte.
They didn't want to beat Paige.
Right.
And they want to put the belt on Charlotte.
Yeah, so, which is fine.
Yeah.
Don't have a problem with that. Let her, run with it. Ric Flair, I'm assuming, will be in Charlotte's corner. He's going to be there, so...
Yeah.
Be great if Bret Hart was in Natty's corner again.
That would be great, or even if it is Daddy. The Anvil.
I don't know. They try to kind of still play the network a bit PG.
Good point.
So...
But you said Ric Flair.
That's true. And I did notice her, Brian Alvarez, talking about it. It was so true because I noticed the same thing. Was when Flair was in the ring on Raw.
Yeah.
The look that Hunter was giving him, like he was just looking at him,
please don't do it.
Like how Bischoff looked at the Ultimate Warrior when he debuted on Nitro, just like, okay, just stay with it. Oh, fuck. Going away, okay, he's back to fuck no, he's like, you just see his eyes.
Yeah,
he says, you have something to say, just fucking say it. And oh, it's funny, but not going to be someone that Tyson Kidd just beat
in
NXT is Mason Ryan. Yeah. Has been fired.
A bunch of guys were let go, but he's the biggest name.
Yeah. Possibly going to be Crazy Steve. That's right now Rob Terry.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it could be him.
So, but you've got that. You've got Oliver Gray was just released as well, who is, had really, unfortunately, with Oliver Gray, I think, the injury. Because they were British Ambition.
That was him and Neville.
Him and Adrian Neville, they were a tag team. They really had something going there. And then Neville was able to take off because of the injury. And Oliver Gray, really, it kind of surprises me. Maybe there must be something more to his rehab that he just wasn't responding. Couldn't do almost like a Mark Merrill. Yeah. You know, kind of being sort of the wild man going to be the boxing gimmick kind of thing. Just never the same. So... must have been. And Eddie Guerrero's daughter and Vicky's Shaw.
Again,
yeah. So, who knows?
Yeah, as let go. Well, I guess when Mom left.
Well, Mom isn't gone, though.
She's wrapping up. She's on leave.
She was going to leave. And then she's wrapping up and might leave in the future, but is still around. It's kind of a fucked up deal. But you got that. You're going to have Bo Dallas... loser leaves town.
Against Big E.
Against Langston.
Because Langston's a member of the NXT roster.
Langston. Yes.
Anyways, yeah, he leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which, I mean, and Adam...
Bo Dallas.
And Adam Rose is debuting next week on Raw.
Yeah, but he's going to feud with Camacho down there.
Yeah, but he's still going to debut, so Bo Dallas won't be far behind, is basically what it's...
yeah. Oh, yeah. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
That's the whole... that's the whole thing, and I mean, you know, it's time you're going to get rid of Bo Dallas, you're going to get rid of eventually of Adam Rose here as he goes, so now it's time to bring up, you get Adrian Neville.
Well, the number one contendership match is Tyler Breeze versus Sami Zayn.
Which is, yeah, going to be a great test for Tyler Breeze more so, is how does he, this will be his,
probably,
you know what I mean, like, so, and that would make sense to me for him. I mean, I'd like to see it be Sami Zayn, in a babyface match, but if you're coming off Tyson Kidd babyface match, you think you want to go to a heel, you know, and give Tyler Breeze a bit of that. They're high on him for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And so...
I don't see it.
I don't either, but we'll go with it, I guess, and see. And you got to make room now for Kenta.
Yeah, though, I mean, if you keep Kenta in... Kenta, of course... former Noah, many times he was their light heavyweight champion. He also had the World Heavyweight Championship over there in Noah, and he's multiple time, many awards and you know, five-star matches. This guy's been in, you know, many Observer Awards and the running and that type of thing. He's a 33-year-old, very influential, extremely good.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 5'7", 180, but, I mean, the GTS and his style influenced heavily both CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
And Daniel Bryan.
Hugely
They were Japanese rivals, Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan took much of his style from wrestling him and learning from him.
Yeah.
And so this guy's an incredible performer. Now, I know he has to go to developmental. He has to learn a few things about the system.
Team with Yoshitatsu.
If you keep him down... there for very long. How long was Cesaro
down
with Sin Cara in a developmental?
Oh, not long.
Yeah, I mean, Kent is kind of the same thing. Now, there is still some speculation that he's just going over to New Japan, I guess, or, you know, that he's not actually going to WWE, but a lot of people are expecting that he's going to the WWE. So
WWE, and same with Prince Devitt.
Yeah.
Looks like he's heading to WWE.
Heading to WWE, yeah. He's from New Japan, I guess. So
yeah. Well, I mean, and he was just replaced, basically, in the, what do they call it, with the group he had up
yes.
by AJ Styles.
Yeah, that's
right. And so AJ's come in there, and AJ's looking to defend the New Japan Championship in Toronto.
IWGP.
I mean, he could very well be the champion.
He could very well be.
Because, I mean, it's his first match. Yeah, it's his first match in, so you don't put him in the first match to lose, basically.
No, exactly.
So
and again, he's... I mean, AJ's making a lot of money. So, I mean, you know, he's good over there and everything. He's making like $3,000.
I think it's the Bullet Club, isn't that? That's what it's called?
Something like that, He's making like $3,000 a shot, like that. And then, you know, so he's making like probably $70,000 a month.
Yeah, exactly.
Minimum, plus merchandise.
Yeah.
Like he's, you know, he's he's making way more money than he would have in TNA.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, you know? Well, not 70,000. Sorry, more like 24,000.
I was going to say, probably,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, the math is way off there.
But about 300,000 a year, basically.
But probably, probably about 30, yeah, probably about $30,000 a month, I guess, with his merchandise right now he's earning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, just crazy money for him. Way more than he would be making there. So.
Yeah.
And we'll see if that's the same thing with Christopher Daniels, right? How much can he make and where does he go? And he wouldn't earn quite as much on his shots, but he'd still be...
I don't get it. I just... Why Bad Influence isn't able to come into WWE right now?
I don't know either.
Like, I just... I don't get it.
I don't know. Just... And this is another thing. I mean, you see Prince Devitt, you see... Like, I mean, I'm sorry. You keep on seeing small guys. Why? Because the talented guys are the small guys. The big guys like Mason Ryan doesn't work.
They don't make it.
And so we need to... They need to...
It's really opened up lately. I mean, you still have Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Right? And those guys. But I think it's what they've really kind of opened up to recently is all shapes and sizes.
Well, I mean, Adam Rose is not a big guy who's coming up.
No, but Adam Rose is...
Bo Dallas is not a big guy.
No, but they're bigger. Bo Dallas and Adam Rose are at least taller.
They're bigger than Kenta. Or Prince Devitt, but, I mean, that's what I'm wondering is, are we going to see...
Adrian Neville, they're bigger than him, I mean, it's...
Yeah, exactly. Adrian Neville's very much like a British Bulldog type of build, right? Like the David... not even David Boy, more like
Dynamite. More like Dynamite, yeah.
Not big at all. But, again, are we going to see some sort of light heavyweight division, especially with the network and everything?
Because they
have
that.
So many smaller guys.
They had talked about doing...
I just...
A light heavyweight show.
How many of them can they... How many of them can they actually have comfortably at the roster and have them in tag teams or not competing against, or competing against, like, or that, or they all become job guys, which seems like a goddamn waste because, you know, they're so much more talented than so many of the guys they'd be losing to. So,
yeah, but...
Which I guess was always the case with job guys, but still.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I... Job guys a little bit... Rob, I don't know. But again, they're putting a guy like Adrian Neville is the NXT champion. You don't put that title on a job guy.
No.
Right? I mean, especially with its
historically,
its lineage thus far, right? No. I mean, it's a young title, but everybody that's had it has gone up. It's, you know, similar to a Money in the Bank, right? Where you win that title, you're guaranteed a roster spot, right?
Pretty much,
So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how those guys debut and do. And, I mean, has Kalisto debuted on television yet, though?
He's in the latest taping.
I thought I saw that. And the Legionnaires are there. It looks like...
Sylvester LaForte.
Has a partner, right?
Has a partner, yeah.
So
they're not called the Legionnaires, but I can't remember what they're called.
I thought they were. When I read the spoilers, it was the Legionnaires.
I think it's something else. Okay. But I might be wrong.
But they're still at their tag team. I finally... saw the ascension.
Well, the tag team division has quickly been, is just getting decimated quickly. I mean, it was built up and now it's, you know.
Well, now you've got the Rhodes boys.
Breaking up.
Yeah. I just, like, my favorite part about that on Raw was Cody.
Real Americans broke up.
Real Americans broke up. When they said that Cody could not be mad at Goldust.
Yeah.
And King goes, he can't, and JBL goes, well, he could, but it wouldn't make sense. Yeah. And then immediately it happened, and I'm like, bingo, this does not make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
But, I mean, what do you do? And Cody's going heel to flounder in the mid-card again.
Yeah.
Till he gets another tag team.
Originally, it was going to be the other way around. But originally, I talked about this as a WrestleMania match. It was Goldust was going to
Thank
turn on
God
Goldust.
They held off so that neither one of them could be on the show, and then they could have this match at, like, Vengeance.
Well, they were both in the...
it's going to be.
They were on the show. They were in the...
Yeah, world. But not a major... You know what I mean? Yeah. And then, okay, they got on the show because everybody got on the show.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Except for Tyson Kidd.
No, he was in the Battle Royal.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things that, like you said, the Desmond, they're talking about Rybacksel now, you know.
Now they have to push them because they don't have, all of a sudden their depth is hurt.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But, and I you know, that's, I'm somewhat okay with that, but...
Is Evan Bourne still employed?
I was just thinking about him. He is. Oh. Evan Bourne is still employed. They're just gonna, he's going to be one of those guys. They just let the contract run out, I think. I mean...
I guess, yeah.
It was... didn't I see somebody beat up Curt Hawkins on NXT tapings as well, just when he thought he was gone?
Yeah, I don't know.
Come back
maybe
to do a job to someone, Mojo Rawley or something.
Something
but
like that, probably. Yeah.
It's one of those things that when I look at the tag team division, I mean, I'm trying to figure out now. I mean, you got the Shield is still a unit. You got the Wyatts, I guess. It looks like I would do the Usos against the two Wyatts.
Yeah.
Would be where I would go next. But you don't have that secondary tag team feud like we had for a while.
No, because, I mean, the feud, I mean, if you look at teams like 3MB and the El Matadors and teams like that, I mean, yeah, they're there, but they're jokes.
Well, they're jokes and their whole feud revolves around the midgets.
Yeah.
Right? It's not even them. I mean,
little
so...
people.
Hmm?
Little people.
No, not Hunter. Torito and
yes, the little swamp. People.
Yeah, yeah, the midgets. Half pints?
Little people. Now, can you actually...
I do like that it's 3.5 MB.
Can you actually clear this up for me? Now, I heard a rumor. I don't know if this is true or not, but I was talking with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that is true, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And she said when you were young that you competed... actually, as a little person, one of the midgets, you used to be in the midget division. When you were a boy, that you were in the midget division, and your name was Lord Little Dick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yes. Yes. I was, it was a little, it's partly true. No, we got half the truth there.
Lord Little Dick?
Lord Little Dick, yes. My nickname, though, the King of Irony, Lord Little Dick. Thank you. Thank you.
You weren't really a lord?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all right. Just it. I was a king.
All right. So what else here? All right. That's NXT. That's NXT.
That was NXT. I mean, there's some new people that are going to be debuting, and that's the thing is you're going to have your next round. I mean, there still is, what's Sami Callihan's... gimmick as well. He would had started on their house shows and such. Samuel Crow or something was the guy's name. Sami Callihan from
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, from Dragon Gate. He was debuting with like kind of a almost like a WikiLeaks type gimmick
or something.
So I would expect to see him.
Drake Younger is about to go down there.
Well, Drake Younger is going down. We talk about if Prince Devitt, if Kenta goes in. I mean, how long until they're on TV? As I said, I saw the Ascension's new act in terms of their entrance, which I think sucks.
Yeah,
but it's just bland. I guess.
Yeah, eventually they're gonna maybe when they establish some teams down there, they'll actually bring them up. They're probably pretty close to bringing them up, I'd say. They've had that belt for a long time.
I was going to say, they've had it for a long time. I would think that they probably
it's
should.
It's like you almost, the Ascension is almost one of those things, they've had it for a long time, and they've been well booked down there in NXT, and yet they're still not over with that crowd.
Yeah.
The point is, though, that if you see something in that act, and you think the gimmick is good enough, it's time to bring it to the main roster and see if it can fly in the main roster where it's not there.
Yes.
You never know. It's almost like you just have to take a chance, because if it doesn't work, then you have to go.
Well, then it's gone, right?
Then
they got to
go.
And that's, speaking of the Ascension, that is Magnus's new bodyguard. I forget what they call him, what his name is in TNA, but it was Kenneth Cameron.
Okay, what was he fired from WWE for again?
DUI.
That's my thought.
Yeah.
I understand, though, in TNA he'll be mentored by Kurt Angle.
Well, you got to watch out for snowbanks. Mm-hmm. That's what he sells people, but in Florida. But Kenneth Cameron debuting in TNA on one of the shows as Magnus's bodyguard teams with them actually the following week, loses the fall, and then has dissension.
Russo.
Yes.
I hate
second week in.
fucking hate him.
They're already at each other's throats.
I fucking
button.
Hate him.
Oh, it's retarded.
Just and Christy Hemme. I'm willing to blame her already some.
I know.
Country. Because, honestly, I mean, the whole Sam Shaw awful food with Ken Anderson, it all builds up to her kneeing the guy in the ball. So he loses because he falls for the... Because she a week ago on TV, she's like, oh, I really do like you. And he's like, oh, see, I knew. Ha! And then she, like, kneed him in the balls or whatever, and, yeah. and he fell for it. And then he does that again on the pay-per-view, and this time she's like, oh, I really do like you. And he's like, oh, I knew it. And then she kneed him in the balls. Yeah. Like, he fell for it 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she put herself over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's TNA Creative, right? Or yeah. as I like to call them, fucking shithead and fire cunt.
Is it true that Christy Hemme has a small penis?
Hmm. Yes.
Yes. Oh, Jesus.
But her butt is hungry. Better feed her butt.
Alright, what else we got here? Oh,
fuck. Well, what else do we...
We watched Legends House.
We watched the greatest program of the week.
It really was. This show is completely turned around.
And part of me doesn't want to give like a blow-by-blow recap of the show, but it was just so great. From
so
start
funny.
To finish. Oh, fuck. It's like...
Tony Atlas is like the new star of the show.
Well, and Piper.
Because he's... Yeah, Tony Atlas. Because Piper, because he just can't stand the bullshit.
Yeah.
And Tony Atlas, because, well, he's just not that bright.
I just... My favorite
He's got the best facial expressions.
My favorite part of the show was... The whole point is that they got sent into teams this week, and they had to make commercials.
Yeah, for local businesses.
For local businesses. And it was me and Gene was the captain, and Piper was the other captain. Me and Gene, when he says he's the captain, he's like, I've been in television for 40 years. He's like, I have a background in advertising and marketing. This thing's right up on my alley. And I went, fuck it. And then what do? They go right to SummerSlam 89, and they show the sign falling on me and Gene Okerlund, and him going, fuck it.
Yes, it was so great.
Like, that's perfect.
That was hilarious. One of the things, actually, that was brought up in this, I can't remember who it was. It might have been Hillbilly Jim, who said, you know, and we have me and Gene Okerlund, who's, you know, got the greatest voice in the history of the business, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to ask you, who's got the greater announcer voice? Mean Gene or the Fink?
I think the Fink.
I do too.
Yeah, I think the Fink. Yeah.
Both got great voices.
Oh yeah,
but I think go with the Fink.
I have to think the Fink, but yeah. So they did it. I forgot. I mean, this really should be half hour programs because like we watched it. It seemed like it was a 2 hour show. I mean, it was great, but I paused it and we still had half to go.
Well, like the beginning part where they were doing the bowling,
they went bowling.
They didn't need that.
No, well, that could have been a separate show, though.
Or a separate half-hour show. Yeah, could have been a separate show, or just, you don't need it at all. Just go to the
bowling.
Go to the really funny shit.
See, the bowling was the best.
I was laughing my ass off.
The bowling was the best, because we're watching it, and then they start to bowl, these old ladies, and they're getting their ass kicked, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the baby faces start to make their comeback.
Yes.
And it's like, they're starting to bowl, and I'm like, it's a baby face. We had the heat. Now it's a baby face comeback, right?
Yeah.
But the heel was set
to
go.
It's a hope spot.
It was a hope spot, because the heel was set to go over here. And so then they do the final tally, and out of the blue,
that reminds me, maybe my favorite line in the whole show is, they introduce, like, the one team, Mean Gene's team, gets to do it's a car wash. And this guy in these crazy pants shows up and opens up his van and for Piper's team. And all these pink flamingos fall out. And in the back, they have all these rubber ducks. And he's like, I sell these, you know, these plastic flamingos for parties and stuff for people, for the lawns and everything. And there's Piper going, how are we supposed to put these over?
Yeah, he goes, how do you put this over?
It's just hilarious.
It was that, and then they get the teams.
Like, you're constantly using, like, rustling Hardy references.
Yeah, because they're mad at Jimmy Hart. He's like, don't put the heat on me.
Yes.
But it was, the teams were, it was Mean Gene, Pat Patterson, Jimmy Hart, and Hillbilly Jim.
Yeah.
Going up against Howard Finkel.
Jim Duggan. Roddy Piper,
and Tony Atlas was on the team.
Sort of.
The best was, Tony Atlas really wanted to work the camera.
Yes.
And Piper's like, you lazy sack of shit. You have to do the work that the rest of us do. You can't just stand there.
He's just kind of bitching about it. He's like, I just wanted to work the camera. That's all I want to do. At one point, Piper looks at him and goes, okay, you work the camera. Do you know how to work a camera?
No. He goes, it was, do you know how to work a camera? No. Like, not even a pause. You know, no. He's like, because he liked his idea. They're all hyped up. He's like, all right. He's like, you're going to do that. You want to work the camera? I want to work the camera. Do you want to work the camera? No.
And then he spent the rest of the show complaining.
Yeah.
They didn't want to hear my ideas anyways. I just wanted to work the camera.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
And what did he say? He said, I'm the odd man out when it comes to thinking.
He actually said that.
God rest his soul. You know who I wish was still alive to be in Legends House? Was Captain Lou.
Oh, God. So brilliant.
That'd
be great.
I mean, fuck that. But yeah, the show is definitely an improvement from the Gary Busey show.
Oh, yeah. And it's getting there. And this was better than last week, too. Yeah. Which was better than the week before, so starting to find its rhythm.
I cannot wait till next week's Legends House now. This is going to be excellent.
But we also saw something that was a piece of shit. We talk about the production values was still great, but this countdown.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, this was...
Best
tag teams.
It's almost like the best tag teams that you remembered this week.
Yeah.
There's just so many, like, glaring mistakes.
Yeah.
You know.
You know who wouldn't make this mistake is the NFL Network.
Yeah. You know who would make this mistake is The Miz. I think he voted on this. And Christy Hemme.
I think Miz, Christy Hemme, and Fat Oily Guy came up with this list.
Yeah, this was an awful list.
Although they did have quotes from Vince Russo in it.
They did. So. Well, Vince Russo, you know, he's been calling. He wants to call this week's Nose Joke of the Week. Should we let him? Norm MacDonald did it last week, if you remember. And what was it? We had Johnny Carson.
I believe
Johnny Carson. And Ed McMahon a couple weeks ago.
The celebrity...
But let me just... Hold on one second. I got to call him back.
He's over in Europe. Poland, I believe.
It's got an extension.
Hello.
Bring.
Hello.
Bring.
Hello.
Oh, hey. Vince, is that you?
Mo, is this who I am talking to?
You are talking to We Talk Wrestling. It's Addy and Mo.
Talking.
Hey, say hello, Addy.
We Talk Wrestling. This is my favorite show. If I can be honest with you.
You could be honest.
Am going to tell you, We Talk Wrestling is my favorite podcast on the internet.
Well, that's nice of you to say, and is it true? You just, right now, to the rumors, you do work for TNA, correct? How much power do you have?
Mo.
Because I noticed that they put a Mexican against a Japanese performer at the pay-per-view.
And Mo, I'll be honest with you, I don't think that will draw. I need them to speak English. They need to speak American. And I cannot get behind a performer who does not speak American.
Yeah.
And I'm just being honest with you.
Or English. As the case may be, But Kenny King and MVP and Lashley MVP. You know he's being a babyface. He's popular. He goes over clean on Austin Aries.
Mm-hmm.
You know he's Kenny King's got
that
some heat and getting along with them.
Wonderful piece of television.
It makes sense to turn that heel, right?
That is going to draw in the ratings.
Oh, yeah, because people don't see it coming? Is that why?
It is a swerve. Just when you think we are going to go in one direction, we go the other.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And would you like a spoiler from me?
Sure.
The new group, Creationism, that has formed in TNA... And I'll be honest with you, I like the idea, I like where this is going, but I think we could see a ton of Kenny King.
Okay.
Maybe not this week.
But they're getting along, right? They've been together for a week.
But exactly, you see where I am going with it. You can't do it, Mo. It doesn't make logical sense.
Until week two.
To turn someone the first week after. You need to wait until week two.
Yeah, oh yeah.
To turn that man babyface. And I look at Kenny King, and I think he is going to be a great talent. I look at Crazy Steve, and I think he is going to be a star.
These guys remind you of Orlando Jordan. Just that
they
presence.
Are, just like Orlando Jordan, going to be a star.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So anyways, you actually, we asked you if you would come up with this, as a writer, did you come up with this week's nose joke, Triple H nose joke of the week?
I will tell you, I, as a writer, I toiled over this joke 4 weeks. In anticipation. I called Vince McMahon. He did not call me back.
Because you're weak?
This joke. Are you ready for the Triple H nose joke of the week?
Let's hear it.
Oh, Triple H, when you smell the flowers, are they afraid? I see my joke has worked.
I see. You seem very proud of yourself. I can hear it in you. This is our video form here, of course. You know, it's Skype.
We and, can Skype, yes.
Yeah, I can see. You should see how pleased he is, folks.
I have to run, Mo. I have to plan my next swerve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's good. To Thanks. The back.
Thank you. Thank you very much, asshole.
For the Triple H nose joke. Of the week. Vince Russo's a cocksucker. Week. Good stuff. And accurate. Accurate.
Very accurate.
Yeah.
Very
accurate. So, anything else we want to hit? Any other notes?
Any notes?
I watched ROH.
That was going to be an ROH.
I caught up on a little bit of them. They have...
Well, because they're going to pay-per-view June 22nd.
They are, and of course, this was the supercard from in Orleans that I was watching.
Right.
Order from them, and very good stuff. They have Kevin Steen versus Michael Elgin, tremendous. The best match, though, the Red Dragons, Kyle O'Reilly, who I've never been too big on.
Yeah.
And Bobby Fish.
Fish,
against,
that's right.
The Young Bucks. Matt and Nick Jackson. Oh my God. Bad match of the year so far.
Did they adhere to the code of honor and shake hands?
No, I don't think they did. I don't think so, actually.
Young Bucks, they're known for that.
Yeah, I know. But they do have, you know, the those Japanese gimmicks that they throw in the air, those streamers.
They come down the ring.
Yeah, the streamer things. And they're like a super kicking the streamers in the middle of the air.
Nice.
It's just hilarious. Holy crap, they're a great act, and this match was awesome.
Well, they were.
O'Reilly was great too, and just oh my, just amazing match. Well,
they are great talents. We saw them here at Heart Legacy Wrestling.
I was blown away by them here, and that's where I went to myself. I got to give these guys another shot, and then I started to kind of follow them a little more, and I just think they're unbelievable. That said, I mean, why can't we see Bad Influence and them in the WWE and against each other? It'd be incredible.
But, yeah.
And now they're IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champions and ROH Tag Team Champions.
Yeah.
So
yeah, which is yeah. So
yeah.
But ROH...
But the main event, Adam Cole versus Jay Briscoe, is well-known for the level of violence that this Ladder Wars match had.
Yeah, Ladder Wars.
That's what it got the buzz about, and it was. Like, not only the ladder shots, but just like I say, the level of violence, the amount of blood, the unprotected chair shots to the head, even though none of them were swinging, they were thrown, but still... Mm. I didn't think... You know, everybody's talking about the violence, so I think they're blown away, but... The crowd is burned out at this point because this is, you know, I mean, there's so much, it's so much
violence
wrestling.
For the sake of violence.
And yeah, I think it was a little slower pace than I expected, but boy, they work hard. I didn't think it was, for me, not a great match, but for me, it wasn't a great match. I think for some people, it's incredible just to see that level of violence when you don't see it that often.
We don't see it that much anymore, yeah.
Yeah, like you used to, so.
But, well, it's good.
All right, so that's my review of that.
Excellent.
But, yeah, I definitely recommend it to people there. Again.
Should we talk?
Small, strong, smart, consistent booking, good performers, better than TNA, and better than Raw's been the last couple of weeks also.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of Raw. We'll kind of get there when we do the Extreme Rules rundown, I think.
Yeah.
But I mentioned last time that we saw the Young Bucks.
We never mentioned that top 10 list, the top 10 countdown.
Oh, yeah, we started on that fucking Russo.
You have, like, Rockers, you have Rock and Sock.
Well, it started number 10 was the Freebirds.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a push, but okay.
But, yeah, okay, Freebirds. I mean, but at this point when we're watching it, it's the 10th team.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, this is the first one. So, okay, if they're going to put them on number 10, because I can think of 9 better already.
Yeah, right? No problem.
Yeah, so okay, 10, fine.
Yeah.
And then number...
And it also makes me think, though, all of a sudden, okay, the teams like Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express, and these different teams also.
Yeah.
Harlem Heat, these teams that are, you know, teams outside WWE. Because, I mean, other than a cup of coffee, I mean, that's not a WWE team.
No, exactly.
Fan voting. Fan voting.
Fan voting, yes. And then number 9 was Demolition.
Yes. And I'm like, okay. Ooh, seemed a little low, but okay. Yeah. All right. They're not the greatest workers. And they weren't an original act. But they got beyond all that.
And that was Jericho. It's like, it's like, Demolition to me was always a ripoff of the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
But.
They had great music.
Great music, yeah. And then we got to number 8. Which was, the Rockers?
No, the Rockers were number 7.
Who the fuck was number 8?
I don't remember.
Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, Dudley's, was it?
Is that Dudley's were 7?
Maybe.
And the Rockers were 8, and the Dudley's were 7.
And then Rock and Sock was 6? I think you might be right.
Rock and Sock was 5, I thought.
Were they 5? Okay.
So
the point being that...
The fact is the Rock and Sock...
The Bulldogs, I believe, were 7, actually.
Okay, Bulldogs were 7, and then 6 would have been the Dudleys.
The Dudleys, yeah.
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 So, okay, so first, then we had the British Bulldogs in there, so it's like, okay, good.
Yeah.
We got someone there, you know, Demolition, British Bulldogs, and we had the Rockers. It's like, what? No.
Yeah.
That was the first one we're like,
and
Dudleys,
you know what? Like, Shawn Michaels Dudleys was great, and they were a fun team, and... But the fact is that they never were champions. They never even drew. They were never even, you know.
Well, they were AWA champions. They were never WWF champions. And,
no, and they never were drawing on house show loops. They, you know, I mean, they were an undercard act.
Yeah.
A terrific undercard act, but, you know, I mean, you can't compare them to the teams that really, you know.
Well, yeah, we'll get the rest of the list, and then we can talk about who didn't make the cut and throw in their comparison to the Rockers at that point. But then number six of Dudley's, and number five was the Rock and Sock Connection. And it's this, like, is the same thing. That was bullshit. And
yeah,
like,
and this is the point where I started going, why is the Rock and Sock Connection in there and the Outsiders not?
Yeah.
Why is the Rock and Sock Connection in there, honestly, over Austin and Shawn Michaels, which is almost the exact same thing? Like, or Brothers of the Destruction. Even more, right? Like, it just didn't make sense. Okay, it was a short run. They're huge stars. That doesn't make them a great team.
No, exactly.
You know, it's not star power.
Huge stars that had a name that drew one big rating and were huge stars. Well, I shouldn't say
it's not
they
star.
Just drew one big rating. They did draw a really big rating.
But it's not star... Like, it's not the tag teams with the greatest star power. It's greatest tag teams.
No,
you know,
that's
best
right.
tag teams.
That's
and that's, you know, I mean, yeah, for star power, that's obviously
but again,
great and very entertaining. But, I mean, you're entertained not for their matches. You're entertained for, like, they didn't show us highlights of their matches like they do with the Rockers
Bulldogs,
and Bulldogs.
Yeah.
These are highlights of their funny shit interacting with each other.
Which was great.
But.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fan voting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Number 4 was the New Age Outlaws.
Yeah.
Right? And then you had Edge and Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had...
Hardys.
The Hardys, yes. And then you had, at number 1, of course, the Legion of Doom, because it had been... That's been...
That's kind of been the mantra for years, that this
exactly.
is...
Exactly. This is the greatest
thing.
You know,
so now people
time.
Believe it. If you say something along and often enough, instead of forming their own opinions, or looking at kind of everything, they just start to believe it. And that's what this is.
Yes.
Because, I mean, they're a terrific team, but they're not the greatest team of all time. They're just not. And I kind of knew this was going to be bullshit early on, because where are the Wild Samoas, right? Where's going to be the Briscoe Brothers? And these teams, these great teams that you have to understand drew great money. Well, like sold out stadiums and had these 5-star matches with these great teams in WWF. And then I knew teams like the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express, the Harlem
Heat. Right.
Like we say, we're going to get
screwed. I thought Harlem Heat and the Steiner Brothers.
Steiners did not make the list.
The Hart Foundation.
If the Bulldogs make the list and the Hart Foundation don't, it doesn't make any sense.
And the fact
they're
is.
Pretty much the same.
And the fact was is that Bret Hart was all over this thing.
Yeah.
And it was just like, so to not have him on there, I was like, whoa, what? So. But, anyway.
Yeah, and so, I mean, Rock and Saw, how many months did you actually think they teamed together? 2, 3?
Oh. Well, but yeah, probably a grand total of 6.
Yeah.
Because then you got another 2-month run, but we didn't mean
20. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right?
But again, I mean, is that a team then?
No, of course not. So.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I
mean, awful list.
Neglecting to mention the Rock and Saw connection, lost the tag team titles.
To the New Jersey Outlaws?
No.
Didn't they? I thought they did.
To the Hollies.
Oh, that's right. They did.
So.
Yeah.
But, oh no, maybe that was,
did they?
That might have been, remember Mankind and Al Snow were tag team champions?
That's right.
Yeah, I think that's, they, okay, I think they lost it to the Hollies. Maybe.
APA, another team from that era that was, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was, but I mean, Hardy's, Edge, and Christian and Dudley's, you know, if those three are going to be on the list, then you got to have the Bulldogs and the Hearts to represent
their era,
the WWF 80s. And then you put in, you know, then you've got to have, I mean, I could even say that the Midnights and the Rock and Roll for NWA.
And again, if you're going to have the Freebirds in there, what makes the Freebirds better than the Von Erichs? Not a goddamn thing, really.
No. And what, well, the Freebirds went around to different, you know, that's it. That's it,
I guess.
But I also, I mean, the Freebirds and the Rock and Rolls and Midnights, and it's just, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I mean, the fantastic,
let's talk the fabulous ones.
If you want to talk about two big stars that were a tag team in the Rock and Sock, I mean, by that logic, you could vote for the Blade Runners.
Sure, you could. You know? By that logic, you could vote for the Blade Runners. By that logic, you could vote for, didn't Pedro and
Bruno?
Bruno team, yeah. Like, for a little while, you know, like...
I mean, I looked at Owen and Davey.
Yeah.
You know, Owen and Yokozuna.
Yeah.
You know.
Owen and Davey, for sure. Just as, you know.
Just as a team, not a makeshift team we talked about, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was the bullshit on the stick.
And hell, I could even have not complained if they had put, like, the Shield in there or something, you know? Over, you know, because...
Yeah. What about, have you heard about this, this top 50 promos of all time?
No.
You
want to do this? I thought this has been covered.
Well.
I heard about it, I haven't looked at it.
Okay, good. Well, then we haven't covered it, so it hasn't been covered.
Okay.
Also, my new, DVD that I want to get is, What Happens When Raw Goes Off the Air or something,
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be funny.
Yeah.
Here, let's see. Top 50 promos. Or not op 50. How about top 50?
Eh, close enough. 50 greatest stars and 50 reasons to love WWE. Tough enough. Bill DeMott.
Should we scrap this promo thing and find out what the top 50 reasons to love WWE is?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
You sure?
Because I'll be way more offended by this, yes. Yeah. I'll be way more offended. Top promos I won't agree with. But top 50 reasons to love the WWE, you know, I don't need you telling me. You know.
Still, I think it'd be funny.
Okay, next show. Well, next show is actually going to be our, you know, special event paper or Extreme Rules, what do you call it there?
Recap?
Recap, but... Yeah. ECW's 25 most must-see matches. 50 reasons to love the WWE. Let's do 50 reasons to love the WWE because I can't see the other one. Or let's do one of these ones that's only like 15, because I don't want to be here all fucking night.
That's true.
15 or 25 or something. I don't want to be here to like, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's already getting late.
The top jobbers.
Okay. Let's do that. That's good.
That's good. As you have Edge and Christian dressed as what do you call them?
The Conquistadors.
Conquistadors, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know who I have my top as the top of the list, so let's see.
I don't know if this is counted down or not, but...
it's probably not counted. Barry Horowitz, you know, who definitely would be right up near the
top. Horowitz wins. Horowitz wins. Yeah,
memorable, Horowitz very good wins. Draw, but very good at making people look good.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Is Terry Gibbs going to be on this list?
Maybe. I mean, I you know who I have on this list, and I will see if they even think of him, but that's Lanny Poffo. Frank Moose Monroe. I think this is before my
time. 70s jobber.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'm not all familiar with him.
No, me either.
But he's Canadian.
Ah, there you go.
There you go.
The Conquistadors.
Many different people over the years played that gimmick.
Yes. Yes, hanging. I love that. Hailing from somewhere in Latin America.
Yeah.
Uno and dos.
Yes, that's right. One and two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pete Doherty, the Duke of Dorchester. Pete Doherty. He was really a jobber in the Boston Gardens.
Yeah, he really was.
Is
yeah.
what he did. Yeah.
Yeah. Dwayne Gill makes this list.
He must. Gilbert, yeah. Iron Mike Sharp. Hamilton, Ontario, Canada's favorite son. You know how he got those arms? It wasn't from taking anabolic steroids.
No.
It was from chopping down trees.
That's right.
It's a famous promo he gave.
Yeah. Yeah. He
was awesome.
He was an awesome personality. He's a shitty jobber. Because jobbers are supposed to make the other guy look good.
Yes.
He never really made the other guys look good because he wasn't that good an athlete or, you know.
No, but...
He wasn't able to do like what Horowitz would do, but as a memorable character. Anyways, Lanny Poffo's the guy who I would think of.
Oh, yeah. When you whip him to the ropes and he bellows, though, it was just...
That was what he was famous for.
Classic stuff.
Yeah. He sounded like he was having an orgasm in the ring all the time.
Yeah.
There's Dwayne Gilbert.
There's Gilbert, okay.
Yeah, so I thought he would have to make it.
Okay, let's see who's next on this... Jobber list.
Did Buddy Parker make this? The Continental Nobleman, John Turco. I don't really know him.
When is he?
Another 70s one?
Must be. Looks like he's from the 70s. It doesn't say.
Yeah, something like that.
All right.
Yeah.
Who else we got here?
Like I say, Frankie Williams.
Frankie Williams. You know, he's from Columbus, Ohio.
That's right.
Frankie Williams.
And you know who's got to be on this list? Obviously, Steve Lombardi, the Brooklyn Brawler.
Oh, yeah, he's got to be the top, the main event of this thing.
He'd be up there, right?
Mario Mancini.
Yes, I remember
him. Tremendous jobber, Mario Mancini.
Yeah. Mario.
I think Chris Duffy makes the list. Oh, okay, here's the Brooklyn Brawler. Yeah, the last page here with Kai and Tai, which is tremendous. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Good selection of jobbers there.
Anybody else you can think of who you thought?
Oh, yeah. Tons.
Yeah, like who?
Tons of great jobbers. I said
Heath Slater.
Heath Slater. But no, I thought you had the Hardys were great jobbers.
Back well, yeah, day, yeah, when they're first know? Breaking in, for sure.
Matt and Jeff were great. You had. Just trying to think, go back. We talked about Dwayne Gill and Barry Hardy was usually Dwayne Gill's tag team partner.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
had that
yep.
same look. Terry Gibbs, as yep. I mentioned, was a great jobber.
Mm-hmm.
Brawler, you had Barry Horowitz, you had Iron Mike Sharp, you had Chris Duffy
mm-hmm.
was a good jobber. I'm trying to think of anybody else that...
I kind of mentioned, like you say, Buddy Parker and these different guys. You know, there's some over in...
Sergeant Buddy Wee Parker, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Was good. I'm trying to think of... There would be...
What's his name? Oh, he's in Seattle now, I think. Does he run a school or something like that? He's in Seattle. He was
Brian Alvarez?
No.
Oh.
I think he's a friend of his, though.
Oh. Vincent Verhey?
No.
Oh, Buddy Wayne.
Buddy Wayne. Thank
Buddy
you.
Wayne.
Buddy Wayne was a good jobber.
Yeah, that's right. Buddy Wayne was a good jobber. Les Thornton.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good jobber. Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm trying to think of... There's
I'm going to say Lanny Poffo to yeah. be maybe the greatest.
Lanny Poffo was definitely...
Because he had a gimmick, and you always wanted to cheer for him, and you always thought because of his gimmick, maybe he'll have a shot this time.
Yeah, and later on, you transitioned a lot of guys. I mean, like, who's a tag team partner with Rick Martel?
Tom Zink?
Before that, in the 80s.
Oh, Tony Garea?
Tony Garea turned into a jobber, yeah. right?
Yeah, that's right.
And so you had guys like that.
Who was that guy? He was I believe he was a Korean wrestler, Tiger...
Chung Lee.
Chung Lee, yeah.
He was from Korea.
Yes, he was
from... Not North Korea, South Korea, he was from Korea.
Korea, but he was the one who, in Asia, actually had a pretty nice career, but over here he was a jobber, and, you know...
Mm-hmm.
He had a good look and good size and everything.
Tag team champion with Mr. Fuji, the devious one.
Yeah. But after that, then he transitioned being jobber.
To be a jobber, yes. Yeah. But he was never more dangerous than coming under the tutelage of the Devious One, Mr. Fuji.
That's right. That's right. Okay, let's get to the extreme rules here.
Well, there was also Jim Powers and Paul Roma, who were jobbers in the 80s that became the Young Stallions, right?
That's right, yeah.
What were we getting to?
Extreme rules.
Extreme rules, okay.
Wrap it up with this bullshit.
What better way to
kick off? How about the build? We'll talk about the build to each match.
Okay.
And then what we expect.
Yes, okay, sounds good. Let's start with the pre-show match. WLC.
WLC.
Yeah. Weebles, Ladders, and Chairs.
Yeah. So the thing is, Torito's actually a really good athlete and a really good wrestler. He just happens to be a little person.
Yeah, midget.
Meanwhile, Hornswoggle isn't much of a wrestler. So, no.
But a dwarf.
Yeah. Yeah, little person.
Yeah, midget.
So, anyways, this will be more, I think, about the outside the ring, the 3MB, and the El Matadors getting involved. Right. It'll be comedy spots and whatever.
Yeah, it's just a...
Torito wins.
Yeah, and I mean...
Business is about to pick up.
You see what Hornswoggle's tattoo says? Can't bring me down. Mm. I disagree. So this is shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's probably being built better than some of these things.
Okay, then we get into the triple threat match. Jack Swagger, Rob Van Dam, and Cesaro.
Now, where is this event taking place, do you know?
New Jersey. Yeah, it's
in
Brooklyn, I think, actually, maybe in that new...
Based on that, they actually should have a good crowd, because, I mean, the crowd in St. Louis and the go-home show was the shits.
Yeah.
And you know what, but I mean, nothing better proved to me what we said when they took Cesaro and put him with Heyman.
Yeah.
And you said, this is money. And I said, it could be, except you're keeping a guy heel who the fans want to cheer, or you're putting a manager who the fans want to boo face.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And for that reason, it has canceled it out, and Cesaro has way less momentum than he did 2-3 months ago.
Yes.
And he has Cesaro versus Swagger on Raw, and the crowd could not have given a fuck.
No.
And it's because you have two heels against each other, and you confuse people by not... Cesaro should have gone by himself.
Yeah.
Or, you know?
But it
wasn't the right time to put him with Heyman. It just wasn't the right time.
No. But I do like the idea of...
They really fucked Cesaro up, though. It's a shame.
It is, but I mean, you see where they're
eventually
going.
Eventually, it'll probably go good because he'll probably go fine. It'll probably turn around because Heyman's so fucking good.
Well, and it's eventually.
But right now?
It's built up that Cesaro is going to get pissed off that all Heyman could talk about is his other client.
Yeah.
You could already tell.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That's what it is. And Zeb Coulter. Is shining in this as well with some of his promos, going up to RVD, enlisting,
who's
offering his services to RVD, who turned him down, right? Not because he doesn't...
Jack Swagger, meanwhile, is looking more physically, like on Raw, is looking at him like, fuck, is he ever looking like Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
You know.
But RVD turned down Zeb Coulter, not because he doesn't want to share a manager, it's because he doesn't want to share his weed. So...
With Jack Swagger, you meant.
With Jack Swagger, exactly. Right? But RVD, I mean, they're going to get the rub from RVD, who is a former champion. I mean, that doesn't really say a lot, because really he wasn't an actual champion. He was more of a rolling paper champion. That's Sabu.
Yeah, no, it's true. If Magnus was a paper champion,
yeah,
RVD was a...
is a rolling paper champion.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's true. It's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, I mean, I look at that, this match, it kind of exists. Cesaro should win.
Yeah, like I say, I mean, it'd be interesting to see what kind of reactions the crowd is giving them. But again, boy, I mean, you just don't, when the crowd is clamoring for something, you don't put it on a table to them and then pull away, you know? Because then they're just going to, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
Speaking of just being there.
Mm-hmm. R-Truth and Xavier Woods against Rusev.
Is this Xavier Woods' pay-per-view debut, or was he in that Battle Royal?
I'm sure he was in the Battle Royal.
But other than that, this would be his...
But, yeah, this is his special event debut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Rusev wins, and I can give a fuck.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes. Next.
Next. Not much of a build. At least they've given us something. Speaking of not much of a build...
Yeah. Tamina and Paige.
Tamina and Paige, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see what kind of reaction Paige is, or what kind of match Paige is able to get with Tamina Snuka, who's awkward in the ring.
Yeah, they really haven't done anything with Paige. It's tough to do anything with a woman because they just don't know really how or care to. But, I mean, from her coming in and saying, you know, I was just here to congratulate you, and no, I'm not ready to compete, and blah, blah.
Well, they haven't at all gotten over her personality.
Well, no, and then winning.
They haven't gotten over enough of her background, her person.
Well,
she's the anti-diva, and B, she's the second British star, and, you know, they haven't really gotten this over much.
No, but the thing is, when you look at it, it's like, okay, yeah, that's it. But then she became this fluke win, okay.
Yeah.
Her next was against fucking Oksana.
Yeah.
Which nobody gives a fuck about Oksana, so nobody gives a fuck about the match. And then the next match that she's in, she's against Daniel Bryan's wife, babyface Brie Bella.
Yeah, right? Really odd. That was a death spot for the two of them.
Yeah.
And the crowd acted like it. Because the crowd, you know what, Brie can be with Daniel Bryan all they want, and as much as they love him. Nobody, she's just not, she doesn't come across as likable on TV. She never has. People just are never anchor as a
Well, babyface. She comes across as somewhat likable supporting Daniel Bryan. A little bit. As Daniel Bryan's kind of cheerleader, supporter, okay, that's fine. And nobody watches Total Divas, so.
No.
I mean, but, and so I didn't mind, but the problem with that role is like when she was out when his dad passed away and she was already in the ring. Starting to yes stuff. It's like, and he goes out to her and they hug. Okay, that's fine. And then she's standing on the ramp with him, and okay, his neck is hurt, and then it's done. But now their relationship is the center of the Raw storyline, and of his Raw storyline, and that's death.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's what it is. And now you're coupling like just as we did with Tamina here, or with Paige rather, how she has a fucked up start. Fucked up follow-up and a fucked up third match in terms of that. Now you got Daniel Bryan who's going to have a fucked up match with Kane that nobody's going to give a fuck about.
No.
And then...
it'll be fucked up.
Yeah. And now you've got a fucked up story with him and Brie Bella, and it just... the Daniel Bryan momentum train is derailed.
Yeah. And that's fucked.
Yeah. Fucking.
Yeah. So anyways, that's Paige versus Tamina Snuka. Paige retains...
Battle of the Second Generation Stars.
AJ's coming back in 4 to 6 weeks or something like that, I guess. So.
Yeah, and no one will give a fuck either.
Nope.
But
here's something people, I think, will give a fuck about. A little bit.
Interesting give a fuck about, though. Yeah. Because you got Bad News Barrett against Big E Langston.
Yeah. Obviously, I think Bad News Barrett gets the belt here because he has been the focus of television far more than Big E.
Oikst.
Plus, he's a lot more over than Big E.
Oikst.
He doesn't have a last name.
Oikst.
Yeah, rid of that.
Oikston? I think but people are starting to cheer Bad News Barrett.
Yeah, it's not just that. It's not just the crowd of WrestleMania, who's from Europe. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, something about that... And we said this when we met him at the Royal Rumble in 2013 in person. We're like, man, this guy'd make a great baby face.
Yeah.
But the Bad News Barrett character, I hope you don't change a thing, because don't make him a baby face. Like, he gets this reaction just because
he's just, he's got his charisma is coming out.
That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just, and I don't know what's happening with Langston.
He's just, you know what, he doesn't get promo time. There's never been video packages on his background, anything like that. He's really an unknown person who comes to the ring, gets very little reaction, and then starts to get a reaction as his matches go, because he's athletic and he's actually a good baby face performer. Yeah. So he'll start to get the reaction, but he always has to start from zero and build it up, right? Yeah. Whereas Barrett, though, is far more over it, and should be. And he's been around longer, and he's, you know, he's got a good... The gimmick I've turned around on.
Yeah, and I think that when it comes to Langston, 2 weeks in a row on SmackDown, he's won a match via disqualification because they haven't broken on the five.
Yeah.
And I assume that this is going to bring...
Against Titus O'Neil?
His five count, though.
It could be, yeah.
Man that demands the five in terms of what he was doing in NXT. You want five, I'll give you five. And I think that's...
So after he gets the belt off him, that'll be...
But let him do that, yeah. After the belt's on him, give him a streak, and
that's... That'll at least give him a personality.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, Barrett against Cesaro? Yeah, I'm okay with that.
If that's where they're going.
But I would just say, yeah, I would be okay
with that. I mean, again, at this point, it'll be two heels, so I don't think that's where they're going right now.
That's true. That's true. Oh, yes.
Holy fuck.
John Cena and Bray Wyatt inside of a cage, because it's Extreme Rules. So we have to have an Extreme Cage match.
Boy, I wish... They've done so much right. Got
the whole world in his hands.
No, they did. They've done so much cool stuff in this feud. They've done so much right. But the two or three things they've done wrong have been so devastatingly wrong that it's hurt the whole thing.
I loved the choir at concept when the lights went out and the kids were singing.
Yeah.
They were standing at the top of the ramp and they were singing. He's got the whole world in his hands. I thought, yeah, it's cool. That's cool. I like that. It's different. That's cool.
I didn't even mind it when they came to the ring the first time, but then it went on too long.
Yes.
They sang too many different verses.
And they were walking and they were singing different verses and they had the whole C Nation in his hands. And I saw them walking around the ring and they had the sheep masks on their backs. Yeah. I could see it. So it's like the lights went out. I was expecting them to have
sheep masks. Well, again, the visual, because if they had quickened that up, the visual of them with the sheep masks, again, looked cool.
And the kid sitting with a sheep mask on
white. It was too long. It didn't 100% work, but I liked it. It was the highlight of Raw. Everything went downhill from there. I liked it because it was new. I'd never seen them do that before.
New, yeah.
Whereas everything else that they did, I've seen.
Yeah.
Every other angle they booked on that show, I've seen a million times.
Yeah.
This was a new angle.
It was. And that's what I liked about it. Yeah. It wasn't perfect in its execution, but I liked the angle.
Yeah.
But
again, if John Cena doesn't beat him at WrestleMania, John Cena looked like, the crowd voted against him was now he's going to turn on them because he's turned on them. No, instead it's just that, this guy's a cult leader. But why is it if John Cena wins, all of a sudden you'll all realize that he's full of shit? Like none of it makes any... Like, there's so many holes in the storyline.
Well, there's that.
And you say, the mania of loss is big.
But the thing to me that, okay, we had a new... angle and a great new angle and John
this is
Cena
a perfect foil for John Cena.
John Cena won't talk to Renee Young, just won't talk. And then he's granted me an interview. And everything is just super okay, wonderful. Let's do some.
I realize it now, and it was a total Rock promo with that shitty John Cena.
Stupid. And I was like, oh, you ruined it.
And they ended up with, I'm gonna put my boot in your ass again, because last time he said that, it got over. And people were raving about it.
So I changed the way you walk. I'll put your boot in your ass. That's how he said it last time, and it was great. Yeah. This was a contrived version of that.
This was the exact same line, though.
No, it wasn't.
Well, not the exact same line, but the exact same ending. I put my boot in your ass.
Yeah, but exactly. But it was contrived. Where last time it sounded more, it sounded more off the cuff.
Exactly. This was, but again, you already said that.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's just the few things you've done.
Oh, that, I mean, I wanted to
really
put that.
Hurt it.
I mean,
but I mean, wait, Bray Wyatt's an incredible talent.
All I could think of was Vince McMahon talking to Steve Austin after the Mike Tyson incident.
You ruined it. Yeah, you did.
Because it
should be much more. Than
I don't give a fuck about this match.
No.
No.
And I don't even know who's going to win, and I don't care.
That's it. It's been John Cena ruined it on well, I mean, John Cena, the writing team, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
They ruined it for me.
The booking team, whatever. Yeah. The few things.
I will watch it because I'm paying $9.99 a month to watch Raw from 1994. And
yeah, this is free.
And so this is basically free.
Exactly. That's it.
Second from the top. Kane and Daniel Bryan. Oh, God, no. I never did, though.
No.
Like,
I told you, I don't want to see him win this belt, because as soon as he does, there's nothing interesting out there for him. The interest was, the chase was what was interesting. They didn't have an opponent for him. And
they
this is,
could have. They did, they've decided not to.
They still, no, they didn't have it.
They
anybody.
Could have.
They couldn't have, they couldn't have a month ago found somebody. No. They couldn't have. They would have needed to start doing that 4 to 6 months ago.
No, they just could have booked everything a bit different. No. And they could have booked everything a bit different. They could have had Brian and Hunter one on one again, and then they could have had him with Orton again. And it's
no, because it was time to reunite Evolution.
Yeah, that's fine. You reunite Evolution. I don't mind that, but that doesn't mean that Daniel Bryan gets to fight Kane.
There's nobody else.
You know what I mean?
Like I say, there's nobody there for him.
Well, no, but that's why you would. Maybe
and him against Hunter again, I would care about only
Orton. And
if I care about this at zero, I would care about that at 0.5.
Okay, but can we not do Orton and Batista? And, well, here, let's put it this way. Can we not do Orton and Batista against the Usos?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and having Orton and Batista win the tag team titles. Okay.
Hunter, Usos not on this card, huh?
No. Because we needed fucking midget ladders.
Yeah.
So.
Meanwhile, they had this great match against.
And I also Axel. Love, by the way, how this is on.
Terrific
the,
match on Raw. How they, Red Axel.
How they call it the pre-show.
Somebody was asking me, who do you think is going to be better, Jimmy or Jay? Will one of them emerge like the Rockers? Well, we see.
Well.
What do you think?
But they're twins. So, I don't think so.
No?
No, because I don't know. I don't. I mean, I guess it's possible. Have they ever done that?
I don't know.
Has that ever happened? I mean, Rikishi was better than Samu.
Yeah.
Fatu and Samu, Fatu yeah. came along and he made a difference.
Yeah.
And then he became Rikishi, right? Or he became the Sultan and then he became Rikishi, yeah. right? So he stuck around for a while and Samu didn't out of that team. I mean, you get those.
I mean, I just look at, I think, I mean, Jay's a little bigger. He has a better chance to be like Rikishi. Because both of them, well, it's just they're being Samoans and looking at family history. Hard to imagine them not putting on some weight and some size over the years.
Mm-hmm.
He's the bigger guy. He's going to be the bigger guy. He looks to me like. He looks to me like the more charismatic guy, but Jimmy's the more athletic guy, and
it's hard to say. I mean,
probably the better looking of the two, if there's a little difference. Like, I don't know. It is hard to say. So,
I mean, I think one would have to have a career-ending injury though to force them into a singles run.
Yeah, I don't really see them splitting up. But it's weird to think of them being a team for 12 years too.
They look too much alike to be able to feud against each other.
Yeah.
Right? It wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Who's getting what, right?
Yeah.
One would need a goatee. But I don't know. This match though, this Kane is just shit.
Yeah.
And there's so
this
many
whole
different
thing
ways.
About him coming out underneath the ring and grabbing at Brie again. Like,
no,
I was
again.
Like, fuck again, like I said,
how many times?
I liked the opening segment because at least I hadn't seen it before.
Yeah.
This is just I don't like it anytime they go into. Again, it gets to be sports to entertainment, and it gets to be. It didn't get too much into the supernatural powers of Kane or even Undertaker, though Undertaker was a little easier to swallow. I don't like that. It just loses me. So.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of easy to swallow, Brie Bella getting put down, in trying to be put down into the whatever under the ring, and I'm like, well, then what?
Well, then she has to go to Little People's Court.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That sounds like she's under the ring. Wow. That's. Awesome.
Yeah, no, it's too bad because it's just, I don't know, in an Extreme Rules match, I don't know. It's Daniel Bryan's a terrific worker. I'm sure it'll be a fine match, but it's just nobody believes Kane's beating him. Nobody thinks Kane's getting the title.
No.
That hurts it too.
Well, and it doesn't do anything for Bryan to beat Kane.
No.
It doesn't.
It doesn't do anything for him either, no.
No, I mean, the only thing, I mean, if you can build up Daniel Bryan against Lesnar. At SummerSlam, maybe. I mean, I don't know.
I don't like I said. I still don't like that either. So,
but it's a match. It's
a match.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? And that's kind of and Hunter against Roman Reigns, yeah. Right? If that's what they're wanting to do. But I would have booked this differently. I would have done, would have had the two Evolution members beat the Usos, would have had them beat the Usos, but at very least face the Usos.
You know who I would like to see Lesnar if I was to book it? If I was to book Summer or WrestleMania next year?
Mm-hmm.
1 month before it, when he's out there talking about, I would have Lesnar beat, at SummerSlam, have him beat, like, Reigns. I'd have him beat, like, Cesaro at Royal Rumble. And then at WrestleMania, I'd have him talk about the streak, and we don't know if Undertaker's going to be back or not, doesn't matter. About a month beforehand, nobody can beat him. Look at who he's beat. He's beat everybody. There's nobody here. Nobody. He beat the Undertaker. Dun, 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 you suck. That's where I go with. I have Angle back for one match, and him against Lesnar, I think, would be the most interest you can create in Lesnar at WrestleMania. Because he's going to be done from TNA pretty soon.
His contract's up, what, in September? August, September? Something like that.
Yeah. And this time I could see them. I know they haven't wanted him back in the past. I could see it this time because it would be a limited one or two match schedule.
And they've been more open to doing that. They've changed their tune on a lot of guys.
And let's face it, he needs to go in the Hall of Fame. He's just kind of one of those guys that needs to be back in the family. And I think him versus Lesnar, I think one time at WrestleMania in a rematch like this, I think would get over big. He's the guy to take care of the guy who took care of the streak. I think people could buy that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that, and there's that would work for me.
Yeah.
Although they're
and they're friends. That doesn't hurt either.
What I look at, what I think is, there's two ways to go, and it's funny with when you talk about.
I mean, I still have Lesnar beat him at WrestleMania.
Who do you think is going to actually face Lesnar at WrestleMania next year, though? See, right now my odds-on favorite is Austin.
I don't know.
Austin said he'd come back to fight Lesnar at Mania.
I tell you, all I know is, I mean, I don't know who it's going to be. All I know is I wouldn't have Lesnar lose. I don't see, I wouldn't have him lose.
No.
Over the next year.
But that was it. Austin said he would come back and fight Lesnar at Mania.
Yeah.
So I think you do that. If he's willing to do it,
if he's willing to do it, you do it. Fucking right.
That's it, right? Because you.
And you also have The Rock out there, too, right? But I mean, I would, right now, I'd book Angle.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, so we don't give a fuck about this.
No, we don't give a fuck about this. And then we've got Evolution against The Shield.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, interesting about this is that it's the first time that Bobby Lashley has been a heel. Right? Oh, wait, wrong.
That's creationism.
Right, that's creationism.
I'm not really interested in this, and what they did on Raw didn't really do it for me. It went on again too long.
Awful.
Flair was no good.
Yeah.
He didn't look like he believed what he was being told to say, and he was no good. The beatdown went on too long. This is probably the match I'm the most interested in for three reasons. Number one, it's new. Mm-hmm. Number two, the Shield always has great matches.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, I'm not 100% sure who's going to win. I actually could see both teams winning. I lean towards thinking Evolution is going to win. I actually think it might be the right move for them to win, because I don't think you put these three together and have them lose their first match, because I think it kind of takes the whole steam off of the idea of Evolution being together again. Yeah. And Shield can get the win at the end of all this. But again, I mean, I could see it going either way. So whatever interest I have in this pay-per-view, this is the most for me. It's not a ton.
I think that's
something. The match I might be the second most interested in is the triple threat.
The Cesaro match. I know. Yes. I was just thinking that, too. Yeah. It's like there is no real undercard match that I'm clamoring to see here. Batista going to do some Guardian of the Galaxy promotion, so I could see him taking the fall.
I could see that,
But
again, he's going to do some promotion, but he's not going to be at house shows. He's not scheduled for Raw, but that doesn't mean he won't be there.
Well, I'm just, if that's the case, right, then that's what I see him taking the fall. If not, Evolution, you know, whatever, Dean Ambrose takes a pedigree or whatever they do, and that's going to eventually, so I said, I think it's Roman Reigns and Hunter at SummerSlam. is where they're going with it. So
I can see that.
It's just a matter
of... But again, when I see Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton, even though it only went like 3.5 minutes, I'm like, oh, Roman Reigns by himself one-on-one can't go more than 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, so, but I mean, they'll have to do it at the house shows, right? It's Roman Reigns and Randy Orton. They got to go 20 at the house shows then to get it going. Right? Yeah. It's just, that's all you can do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then, it's, I mean, Dean Ambrose retained the U.S. title on SmackDown, right? Even though it was supposedly a 3-on-1, then got changed to a 4-corners match.
Yeah, and then Ryback's
Dissension.
Like, yeah, Dissension, of course.
Of course. Of
course. Russell's poking both fucking
companies. He is. He's back like a motherfucker. Right. So my interest level in this is about a 4 out of 10.
On this match, you mean?
This show.
Okay. So my interest level in this match is about a 3.5 out of 10. Mm-hmm. And that's the most on the show. Meaning my interest level on the show is like a 3 or 2.5.
Where they give me that extra bump is that it's free.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So I don't have to shell out any extra money for this. So it's, yeah, I'm okay with it. But we'll see. I mean, we'll have our post show. I think the man they call B wants to...
I remember the last time we were this low on a show, it turned out to be, I can't remember what it was. It was a Battleground or something like that. And it was like a great show.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, so you never know. And WrestleMania was a terrific event, so...
It was. So sometimes low expectations are the best thing, actually. Yeah. But...
The actual event could be good, but the booking leading to this has been...
I'm interested a little bit in the Bad News Barrett reaction as well.
I'm interested more in the reaction, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's...
But again, I have no doubt that he's winning, which takes away a little
bit. It does. It definitely does.
Yeah. Whereas I could see RVD winning, though. I think Cesaro will.
It's going to... Yeah. But, I mean, does it... I don't think it kills the Shield to lose...
No, I don't. I don't.
So I don't think it kills him at all.
I don't think either one. Yeah. And I do think they should go on last because I do think it's the main event.
It's definitely the main event. Yeah. It's definitely the main event. Hunter's in it.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
There you go.
Duh. But yeah, I don't think it kills him. So, speaking of which, we just ordered tickets. To Heart Legacy Wrestling's.
Yeah. Well, you ordered tickets, and now I feel obligated to give you $35 for it.
The $35 for the front row
that
seats.
I would have spent probably on something better. Like 3 months worth of the network.
You would not have spent on anything better because at Heart Legacy Wrestling in the Max Bell Arena on July 18th is going to be the wrestling debut tag teaming with Chavo Guerrero Jr. of David Benoit.
Chris Benoit's son.
Yes.
Why are you laughing?
Hmm?
I think this is a terrible thing. And it just smacks of... exploitation.
Yes.
And it is Smith Hart, and you mm-hmm. know, and I know somebody would have booked him for his first match.
Mm-hmm.
But I just smacks of exploitation to me. I wouldn't want to be that guy. I wouldn't book him at all. I just would sit him down and go, this is not a good idea. Go become an accountant.
Yes. That's right. Go work for the IRS. Then you'll be prepared to be a wrestler. And you'll have cult leading sons.
Yeah.
Yes, but I this is going to be surreal, I think, is going to be the best way to put it.
It's going to be very strange. I don't even know what the kid looks like, and we don't know how big the crowd will be and the reaction and all of it. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing that I'm scared about is that people start a chant on his dad, which I would just... And they probably will, because I know...
That's what I'm interested in.
When Heart Legacy was here before, Teddy Hart mentioned his name a couple times he did. They got a big reaction, and...
Yeah, but I don't know. And then you've got Dynamite Kid's daughter as the ring announcer.
Are you shitting me?
No. She was, she did the, they did that 50-50 draw.
Yeah, was that her?
Yeah, it was her.
She's pretty good looking.
Yeah. So, what we saw on the that Dynamite Kid documentary, right? She's on there. So, she's the ring announcer.
I'm sure Harry Smith will be there.
Harry, Dan the Beast Severn.
Dan, you know, obviously. Yeah.
Obviously, you think Stampede Wrestling. You think Dan Severn.
Well, we'll see what kind of lessons they learned from the earlier Heart Legacy Wrestling. And the fact that they can have this name and this name's available.
I looked into it.
I'm sure Teddy will be there. Yeah, well...
Yeah, Teddy will be there.
Can Teddy Margarito? Sure. Just don't let him book anything. Like, the idea to me, I mean, you say none. The idea to me is, okay, have in Chavo. And have in... you know, Dan Severn, maybe one other guy. Maybe you bring back John Morrison to defend his belt for the second or first time. So one behind Dean Ambrose, I think, in his 440-day run.
Yeah.
But
well, they want Julie Hart there.
Yeah. Well, so, she stepped down from Hart Legacy.
I saw that, but yeah. If John Morrison is there, by God,
well, she'll be there.
Yeah,
with her kid. But again, yeah, bad idea. I mean, just don't bring in like Nash, Conan, and fucking guys from AAA and fucking guys, all the best indie talent in the States, because you can't afford that.
No,
bring in one or two big names, and then develop some other guys, some other smaller names, and then a couple local guys, and that's it. And that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
If you load it up with you know, you get local guys like Goldust.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you can get the weekend off.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you have to go in the archives to listen to that. You get that joke.
But can you get some, could you get like a bad influence?
Again, I think that's too much.
Yeah.
I think they're too much money. You know, I think if you have, when you start bringing in, you know, like you said, I mean, who did they bring in last time? Nash. Chris Masters.
Conan,
Bobby Lashley.
No. The second time they brought in Necro Butcher.
Yeah.
They had the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
They had Nash.
Yeah.
Again, they had Conan.
Yeah.
Right? Did we have Samurai Del Sol?
Yep.
In that one?
Yeah.
Trent Beretta
mm-hmm.
was there again. And again, they booked them so horribly in the second one is that it was all just a big... It was some form of... It was, wasn't it like a tag team? The winners of the tag team went into a ladder match?
Yeah, something like that.
John
yeah.
Morrison was on the second show.
Yes.
On this last one. Yeah. So, I mean, instead they had the Necro Butcher on that too.
Yeah.
So and Teddy Hart and but I mean the big names they had were yeah it was Kevin Nash, Conan, Morrison were probably the three
biggest
big ones.
Probably yeah, but I mean again they would have yeah they it was still pretty expensive the
oh yeah
the people they brought in even if it wasn't as big as the first one which was just ridiculous so.
It's going to their site right now to see.
See what?
Well, I'm just looking to see. Here we go. Okay, so here's your.
Here's my what? Is this one of the? Is this David Benoit?
That's him right there. Can you tell? Wait,
which
look
one?
Like his fucking dad.
Which one?
Right That's there.
It? Right there. I guess he does a little bit skinnier, but.
No, his face though.
But yeah, there he is with Harry Smith.
With Harry,
I
right?
Thought,
so.
Yeah.
But Harry, there's Chavo,
yeah.
You know. There's Dan the Beast Severn. What'd
yeah.
they say? Happy to him. Okay, Chavo Guerrero. Yeah. So
now, I feel like there's a couple big names that they also brought in for that second show that I can't recall. But I mean, Morrison would have been expensive, right? Like,
yeah,
Nash obviously,
and Conan. Yeah. So
yeah.
It's but that's it so far is Dan Severn.
Yeah, I mean, if you bring in one or two more guys, then that's it. That's, you know, that's all you need. So, all right, let's get the hell out of here. Do the plugs and we're OUT.
Okay. Mo's mom. Okay. So, we are on WeTalkWrestling.com. See that? Maria Menounos.
Oh, yeah.
But, anyway. So WeTalkWrestling.com. Is the website. We're on iTunes. Is also in Stitcher. Is how you can listen to the show. At We Talk Wrestling on the Twitter machine. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling on the Facebook machine. And Addie, ADDIE, @WeTalkWrestling.com is the best way to email on the email
yeah.
machine.
And we're going to say this. We're coming up in May 5th. We're doing something special.
Yes, next week. From today, so it depends on when you listen to this. But yes, May 5th is going to be... We just had Warrior Week on WWE Network, and we thought we would be inspired by that May 5th we're going to start Owen Hart Week on WeTalkWrestling.com. So we're going to have a couple blogs that are going to go up.
Yeah, just some content regarding Owen and some, you know... podcasts and blogs and that type of thing. So one of the things we want to do is tweet us, if you're a listener, And tweet us or leave it in the comments or email that at @wetalkwrestling.com or tweet us, like you say, at wetalkwrestling.com
mm-hmm.
or in the comments section of this show or any show, really, we'll see it. If you have some memories, we'd like to either, we're either going to read them on the air or even better yet, we might even, if we get enough, gather them.
Put a collection out there, yeah.
As a blog.
Yeah.
Your little writings of whatever it is you want to say.
Yeah.
So if you love Owen like we did, and do, make sure and do that for us. And we'd really love to hear on you. To us, this is a special project from the heart. It's Owen, from the heart to the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and a shout out to In Our Hearts. .com as well is a great Owen Hart tribute site that has some
like things. Owen Hart fan Cassidy Ash.
Yes, so
probably Western Canada's coolest chick, and we appreciate that.
Who we will meet at Hart Legacy Wrestling.
Is she going to be there?
Yes, we were chatting about it yesterday or the day before. I don't remember, but yes, we're going to meet there for the first time there. So
that's right. She was buying us drinks, right?
That's true. Yeah, yeah. But sadly, I don't know. We only got you one seat. Hopefully they have our seats this time. They don't have to give them to us.
Or front row, you say, so.
Oh, yeah, so that might happen again.
Look, if this sounds like I expect it to, I don't think this will be a problem.
That's true. I love indie wrestling. All right, so that's going to do it for another week. I said look for us back on Monday with some Owen Hart, with Owen Hart Week on We Talk Wrestling. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, after Owen Week, what week do you want to do next?
Chris Benoit Week?